Have you, this is a question, it's a rhetorical question, so don't shout out, but have you ever agreed to do something and then when the time comes and you're in the middle of fulfilling your agreement, you ask yourself, what have I got myself into? Yeah. That really is a cat, by the way. That's. I had a moment like that last week when I went to a school reunion. For those of you who don't know, there's four of us who come to Real Life Church. We all went to Belmont High School together, and we went to a school reunion last week. But after a few awkward conversations, I found myself thinking, what have I got myself into? I wonder what Rochelle's doing tonight. Anyway, when recently fishing with Fritz and Ian Cook out near Garden Island, I find myself asking that same question when I brought up my lunch and breakfast as I vomited over the side of Fritz's boat. What? Thanks, Fritz. And then, you know, when I got back, he says, oh, you'll get used to it. Who's doing that again? But as I was hanging over the side of his boat, I thought to myself, what have I got myself into? You know, he had all these fishing rods all there, and one of them bent over. You know, he's got a fish, and Fritz is all excited. Ian's all excited, and, you know, Fritz goes to me, Dave, you can pull this one. I was like, forget it. Not interested. Maybe today you're new to Real Life Church, and you're sitting here, and you're asking yourself this very same question. What have I got myself into? Because these people are crazy. And we may be crazy, but it's good crazy. So relax. Anyway, the title of this message today is, what have I got myself into? And many people here in this room have made their peace with God. And we've made our peace with God by placing our faith in Christ. Amen? And that's why we're here today, because we're followers of Jesus. And as born-again followers of Jesus, we've come to worship and honor Almighty God. Amen? That's why we're here. And most people who have become followers of Jesus Christ do so generally for two simple reasons. Most of us decide to become Christians because we don't want to go to hell. And the second reason is because we hope that life will improve. And to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, I think they are actually excellent reasons for becoming a Christian, the reasonable reasons. However, since placing our faith in Jesus, it's good to pause and ask the question, what have I got myself into? Do you know what you've got yourself into? What did you really get yourself into when you repented of your sins and turned to God? So, let me cut to the chase and answer that question for you. In case you didn't know, when you repented of your sins and placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you went and got yourself into a divine covenant. That's what you got yourself into. You have gone and landed yourself in something way bigger and something way more significant than anything you could possibly imagine. You've landed yourself, ladies and gentlemen, in a covenant. You're in a covenant. You're in a covenant. You're in a covenant. Now, some of you are thinking, what covenant? I just put my hand up and said the sinner's prayer because I wanted to go to heaven. I didn't know anything about a covenant. Well, you should have checked the small print first before you put your hand up. You're in a covenant now for life and eternity, and it's a wonderful covenant, and you should thank God for it. Amen. These days, we don't use the word covenant very much, but I think we all understand that it's some sort of agreement. In our culture, we prefer to use the word contract. In many situations, we write up a contract between two people, and then it's enforced after the two people sign their name on the contract. A covenant is similar to a contract, but a covenant is powerful and it is binding for life. In fact, covenants are the backbone of the Bible. The two halves of your Bible, for example, are called the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, or the New Testament or the New Covenant. Covenants were a part of the ancient world. And in the Bible, we read of God making covenants with people. For example, this is a famous one, God made a covenant with Noah. Remember that covenant? And he made a covenant that he would never destroy the world with flood waters again. And God put a symbol in the sky. What was it? A rainbow. And we read of people making covenants with other people, like David and Jonathan. They made a covenant of friendship. We read of covenants between nations in the Bible, nations where they formed alliances. And such ancient covenants were binding, and a curse was included in the covenant should one of the parties renege on their responsibilities. Wow. People and nations entered into these covenants because it provided great benefits to those involved in the covenants. In fact, for those of you who aren't aware, I'm just going to have some water. Is that okay, everybody? Coffee would be better, but I'll settle for water. In fact, this is interesting, is that the foundational reason for ancient covenants was friendship. There was a time, you see, this might be foreign to all of us, but there was a time when a friend would look out for you. Most of our friends are people we've never seen before on Facebook, you know. They're not friends. A friend would care for you. A friend would fight for you, even if you were in the wrong. The covenant always superseded circumstances. Marriage is also a covenant. We spoke about that yesterday. And isn't it great to have Tony and Mary with us today? Wow, that's amazing. In church, that married yesterday, in church today. How about that? It was a great day. It was a great day yesterday. But marriage is also a covenant, Tony, established by God between a man and a woman. And we don't do marriage very well anymore. I know we're all getting fussed up about, and me too, about this vote. And, you know, I voted no with this same-sex marriage thing. But the truth of the matter is, if we had been doing marriage better than what we've been doing it, we wouldn't even be having this issue today. You know, our problems started decades ago, and now here we are. So we don't do marriage very well because we treat marriage like a contract instead of a covenant. So just before we look at the covenant we've got ourselves into, we must ask ourselves just how powerful is a Bible covenant? Really, how powerful is it? You said it's powerful, but how powerful is it? Well, let me tell you, the ancient covenants were very, very, very powerful. There's a story where Joshua and Israel were deceived. They were deceived into making a covenant with a weaker but enemy nation. And when that enemy nation was attacked, and it would have been to Israel's benefit that they'd be wiped out, but when that enemy nation was attacked, Joshua and Israel still had to come to their rescue because they were in covenant. It was binding. Bible covenants were powerful and they were binding. And this is best elaborated by a description of the covenant made between Almighty God and old Abraham. Now, before I continue, is everybody good with this? Everybody still with me? Abraham was originally called Abram before had his name changed. If you've never heard of Abraham or Abram, he's a major character in the Bible. And we read of Abraham in the first book of the Bible, which is called Genesis. Abraham lived about 4,000 years ago. Abraham was a worshiper of God, although the Bible had not been written at that time. And God made an amazing promise to Abraham. Please listen to this. God promised the land of Canaan to Abraham's future descendants. Abraham responded by becoming a little bit confused by this promise. And so he wanted to know how he could be sure that the land would later belong to his descendants. In today's language, we could say that Abraham needed a contract. I need a contract to prove that this is true. But God doesn't do contracts. God only does covenants. So God decided to cut a covenant with Abraham, and it was all God's idea. And this covenant would guarantee the promise of the land of Canaan to Abraham. So let me explain how this covenant was transacted. The word for covenant in the Old Testament comes from the Hebrew word berith. And I know that I'm not saying that right, berith. I'm saying it with an Australian accent, berith. It's a Hebrew word. The word berith means to cut until the blood flows. Wow. Who prefers contracts already? So firstly, an animal like a sheep or a cow will be chosen. Don't you reckon the animals in the Bible really had a bad go of it, you know? So they get a sheep or a cow, something like that. And the animal would then be killed, and then it would be cut in half down the spine. And once the pieces of the slain animal have been arranged, half one side, half the other side, the two people making the covenant, Rochelle, would you like to come here? You come. No, I prefer to hold your hand because I've got to hold hands. I don't want to hold hands. I don't want to hold Fritz's hand. Okay. So what they would do is, so let's just say that's one half of the cow. This is the other half of the cow. And I actually haven't practiced this, so I don't know if I'm going to get it right. But so they would join hands and they would walk between. Actually, you're going to walk in a figure eight. Okay, so we're going to go that way. Around there. No, we'll go. Keep it in. So you've actually got a pathway of blood here. You've got two carcasses. So they walk like this. You probably can't see it because you're looking on sideways. But we're actually walking in a figure eight. And I'm really enjoying holding your hand, by the way. And they walk around and they go around again. They actually did it twice. And in the shape of the figure eight, as they walk through it twice, what actually that meant. Did you enjoy holding my hand too? Yeah, okay, good. Thanks, Rochelle. Put your hands together for her. So that's how they walk. And so it meant that the covenant, by walking, holding hands together twice in the figure eight, it meant the covenant was binding forever. You did that. You walked and it was binding forever. Then they would say to each other, actually come back. You got it on your screen there. You got it on your screen. And they would look at each other. I don't know if they held hands at this part, but I'm enjoying on yours. They said, may God do to me as has been done to this animal if ever I break the covenant. Wow. So they walk through, blood everywhere. Then they hold hands, you can go back, and and say, may God do to me as has been done to this animal if ever I break this covenant. Ladies and gentlemen, this covenant making was serious business in the ancient world. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a big difference between a contract and a covenant. See, we jump in and out of contracts all the time. We change our minds. We say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. My circumstances have changed. We don't keep our promises. We have lawyers to rescue us from contracts. In the ancient world, you did not jump in and out of covenants. The covenant was binding for life, even if your circumstances changed. Imagine today, if in a wedding ceremony, we killed an animal, and the couple then walked through it, and then they had to say, may God do to me as been done to this animal if ever I break this covenant. We'd be really careful about who we married, wouldn't we? In fact, we might all want to be celibate. And single, forget that. You know. However, this is what's interesting. God instructed Abraham not just to get one animal. God told Abraham to get five different kinds of animals. Interestingly, five is a Bible number for grace. Abraham then cut the animals in half, the large animals at least, and he separated the halves like this, making a pathway of blood between them. In fact, there was just blood everywhere, as you could just imagine. And let's be honest about it. It was a horrible sight. Carcasses, pathway of blood. Then Abraham waited for God. And then as the sun set, Abraham fell into a deep sleep. It was a very unusual sleep. And in his sleep, Abraham then saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses along the pathway of blood. The smoking fire pot and the flaming torch was God himself. The smoking fire pot represented the justice of God, and the flaming torch represented the mercy of God. Justice and mercy joined hands, and together they walked between the slain animals. What a picture of the new covenant that we're in today of Jesus Christ. God himself walked between the carcasses as Abraham watched while in his dream state. And the Bible says, so the Lord made a covenant with Abraham that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants. What God did was overwhelming. He walked alone. It was a one-sided covenant to Abraham. It was a covenant of grace. God promised unconditionally via the cutting of the covenant that Abraham's descendants would inherit the land of Canaan. Now listen to this. This is how powerful this covenant is. In 1948, God once again kept this covenant with Abraham when his descendants, the Jews, miraculously became a nation occupying what was once the ancient land of Canaan. When God makes a covenant, he always keeps his word. His covenants are powerful. They are binding. And you are also in a covenant. Amen? Now, the covenants in the Bible contain some or all of the following, which we'll have on your screen just right now. These were some of the aspects to a covenant. There were covenant promises, a blood sacrifice, oaths, blessings and curses, mingling of blood, change of names, exchange of gifts, weapons, belt, garment, a covenant meal and a witness sign and memorial. So as you could see, a covenant is more than just a handshake. It's way more than just a signature on a piece of paper. And when you choose to follow Jesus, you got yourself into this kind of a covenant. It's a covenant with God. The same God who walked between the carcasses while Abraham watched is the same God who's in covenant with you today. You're not in a contract with God. God does not do contracts. God only does covenants. Contract Christians don't last very long. I've seen them come and I've seen them go. They were just contract Christians. But covenant-minded Christians, they're locked into Jesus for eternity. Are there any covenant-minded Christians here today? I think there is. I know there is. Our covenant is described as a new covenant. It is the final and ultimate covenant that God has made between himself and people like us. And our covenant is centered upon Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And like the ancient covenants of the Bible, our covenant with Jesus has covenant promises. The Bible says, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. But God's covenant promises for you and for me are found scattered all the way through the books of the Bible, in Genesis, Exodus, in Leviticus, in Numbers, Deuteronomy, in Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and 1st and 2nd Samuel, and in Kings, Chronicles, and Chronicles, in Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians 2, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd John, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelations. Amen. I remember that from Sunday school. But it's all full of God's covenant promises. That's why we say to people, read your Bible. But for you to be in covenant with God, you've also made covenant promises. Some of you thinking, I did? Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Didn't you agree to repent of your sins? And didn't you agree to make Jesus your Lord and Savior? That was your covenant promise. The promise of submission to God was your covenant promise back to God, and God took you at your word. And he scooped you up into his arms, and he called you friend, and he made his covenant of grace with you. You're in covenant. You made those promises. Like the ancient covenants of the Bible, our covenant with Jesus has a blood sacrifice. Instead of it being some animal, our blood sacrifice is Jesus Christ himself. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood. Absolutely. And like the ancient covenants of the Bible, our covenant with Jesus has an oath. Hebrews 7:21. I recommend the reading of the book of Hebrews, by the way. Says, but there was an oath regarding Jesus. For God said to him, the Lord has taken an oath and will not break his vow. You are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus is the one who guarantees this better covenant with God. Can we have the next slide there so they can just stick with me on that one? There you go. Because of this oath, Jesus is the one who guarantees this better covenant with God. And like the ancient covenants of the Bible, our covenant with Jesus has blessings and it also has curses. It does. Here's an example of a blessing. This is in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. It says, but you were washed. Actually, next slide. Sorry, just keep that next slide there. That's good. But you were washed. You were sanctified. Remember that? You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's a blessing. But look at the curses. For anyone, this is in the Bible, for anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant which made us holy as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us. For we know the one who said, I will take revenge, I will pay them back. He also said, the Lord will judge his own people. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Blessing, curses. You're in covenant. It's binding. Can I just make a strong recommendation? Stay in covenant. Stay in covenant. Read Hebrews 10. Stay in covenant. Stay in covenant. And like the ancient covenants of the Bible, our covenant with Jesus has mingling of blood. 1 Corinthians 11:25 says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it. In remembrance of me. And we're going to do that in just a moment. The communion service is where we eat the bread and drink the cup. The cup of red wine represents the blood of Jesus. It's symbolic. It is spiritual. But when we drink of the cup, we're declaring that his life is our life. Jesus says our life is his life. His life is our life. A mingling of blood. And like the ancient covenants of the Bible, our covenant with Jesus has a changing of names. This is a good scripture I'm going to use now. Acts 11:26, it says this. It was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. We are Christians, ladies and gentlemen. We belong to Jesus and we've taken his name. Jesus said in the Revelation, and I will give to you each one a white stone. And on that stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. Like the ancient covenants of the Bible, our covenant with Jesus has an exchanging of gifts. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What that means is, we gave to Jesus our sin, that was our gift to him, but he gave to us his righteousness, an exchanging of gifts. When David made a covenant of friendship with Jonathan, they exchanged gifts. They exchanged their robes and their weapons, their belt. This was a picture of God exchanging gifts with us. David was a poor shepherd turned soldier. Jonathan was a prince. He lived in the palace. David gave his poor soldier's robe to Jonathan, the prince. Jonathan gave him his princely robe in return. David got the best out of that exchange. And it's the same with us today. Jesus has given his riches in exchange for our poverty. We get the best out of this divine exchange. Praise God. And like the ancient covenants of the Bible, our covenant with Jesus has a covenant meal. We call it the communion service. We're going to have that meal in just a moment. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And like the ancient covenants of the Bible, our covenant with Jesus also has a witness. There's always witnesses confirming and guaranteeing what has taken place. Ephesians 1:4 says, "The Spirit of God," or the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. The Holy Spirit is the divine witness of the covenant that we have with God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God! If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then you're in covenant. You're in this divine covenant. We're not contract Christians. We don't jump in, we don't jump out, we don't jump in again. We stay in covenant. We're covenant Christians. Have you ever agreed to do something, and then when you're in the middle of it, of fulfilling your agreement, you ask yourself, what have I got myself into? And sometimes, you're probably like me, I get so overwhelmed with what Jesus Christ has done for me. What I consider his kindness, his faithfulness, and his patience with me, sometimes I just want to say, Lord, what have I got myself into? This is just too good to be true. And one day we'll all be together in heaven, and on that day as we stand together in Real Life Church's corner, one day as we're tapping each other's shoulder and saying, hey, you made it. That's a surprise. No, no, we won't do that. We won't do that. But one day when we're all together in heaven, on that day, I reckon we'll all say, as we're just in raptures over seeing God the Father, seeing that throne, being hugged by Jesus, giving Gabriel a high five. On that day, we'll all look at each other and say, what have we got ourselves into? Amen? Come on, let's stand on our feet. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Can we just praise God for a moment? Come on, let's just thank him, you know. Just let's express gratitude to him for this covenant that we're in today. Let's just honor him. Let's just thank him. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. What have we got ourselves into, Lord? We're just delighted, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever.